Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, and welcome to the Frequency 49 show. This evening I'm joined by Paul Marsh and Deepak Gohil. And there's been a lot going on in the NFL since our last show, guys. Most recently, last weekend, in the wildcard round of the NFL playoffs. Just to scoot over, and then I'll ask you guys if you watched them and what your thoughts were. The Texans smashed D'Amico Ryans' Texans smashed the Browns 45-14. The Dolphins, after looking so good for so long against teams with non-winning records, were beat by the playoff veterans of the Chiefs by 26-7. And then a team from Green Bay beat them boys 48-32 in Jerry World, once again knocking off the throne of the America's team. The Rams were beaten by 1 point by their former quarterback of the Detroit Lions. And the Bills beat the Steelers in a snowball game. And then the final game was the Eagles were beaten by the Buccaneers 32-9 points. Go on then, D. Did you watch any of those games by any chance, mate?
I watched a few of them. The Philly game was just, we broke them. When Don, what's his name, Big Don pushed Dre Greenlaw, it was like, touch me if you want to end your team's season for the next 3 minutes. So we did, and the season was over. Yeah, Philly crumbling. Dallas was, for me, predictable. I knew that was going to happen. I think all of football knew that was going to happen. But I didn't expect Houston to have it so much their own way against the Browns. I thought Cleveland might have a little bit more in them. But yeah, Philly was predictable. You knew they were going to capitulate, and Dallas. But Houston surprised me. And what was the other one? The other one was the Chiefs and Buffalo.
Yeah,
that one sort of went to plan, really, didn't it?
Well, the Chiefs are just... I've said it before, and they are still the team that worries me. Just because of the quarterback's got two rings, they've still got Kelce, they've still got the majority of the team that have won those two Super Bowls in recent memory, and players like that don't just become bad overnight. So that they still worry me a little bit. The Eagles' capitulation has got to be one of the funniest season capitulations I can remember. You guys have been following it a lot longer than me, but they went from the number one team in the NFL, top of the power rankings,
10-1, I think, weren't they? 10-1 when we rolled into town.
Yeah, they were the top seed.
Top seed, 10-1. We rolled into town, absolutely hammered them. And I liked the bit where Bosa was like in the interviews afterwards, we've given everybody the template on how you beat the Eagles and all this kind of stuff. It sounded kind of a bit cocky, and then they've just like completely capitulated. It's hilarious.
But I think, you know what? I think Jalen Hurts is grossly overrated. I don't know. I see lots and lots of, I hear lots and lots of sizzle, see very, very little steak from that guy. And I'm thinking, why is he such a big deal in this league? He really isn't all that. I mean, I could name half a dozen quarterbacks that are way better than he is, you know.
I think that's an issue with like a lot of, for example, we've obviously, people are talking about Jordan Love. This is Jordan Love, isn't it? I think,
yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
Yeah. Now.
And that's pretty, he plays one great game or whatever, and everyone, and he builds everyone up. But it's like, and I think it's the same reason for me, James, is about the Chiefs. Mahomes, he isn't one of these kind of flash in the pans, has a couple of good games or a season that's kind of okay, and then does, Mahomes is consistently proving himself to be the best quarterback. He's got two Super Bowl rings. You know that if you play the Chiefs, they could not be on their best day and Mahomes will win it for them. It doesn't matter how well, Dak Prescott has played at various points throughout the season and the stats that he's got. You know that when the crunch time comes, he's never actually produced anything and they're always out of the playoffs. And, so there's people big up all these quarterbacks all the time, but very few of them can actually, have proven themselves to be able to you know, produce time and time again and win the important games over and over again. And as I said, there's only one, you know, really, you know, because even what's his face at the Ravens,
Lamar, Lamar Jackson.
He's never proven himself in playoff game. You know, there's just so many of them that, you know, people are like, say how great they are. You know, time has proven that not to be the case when the crunch comes, which is why the Chiefs still worry me the most probably as well.
Yeah. No, you are, Josh Allen's the same. You know, I really like Josh Allen. I think he's a phenomenal player. But again, playoff football is different to regular season football. We, you know, it's the same. Well, it's not the same as preseason to regular season, but playoff football and regular season football, two completely different. You know, it's just everything's more intense. And with this sport, you know, Mahomes, like you say, has got two rings. Josh Allen's capitulated before Lamar Jackson, who still getting touted as MVP, which blows my mind considering that in every statistical bracket, he's not the best quarterback in the league this season. But yeah, you're spot on, really. The one quarterback they're not talking about is Brock Purdy, and I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
But that's just it. They were. And if you look at what's happened throughout this season, there's a really obvious pattern in the National Football League. It's whichever QB has a half-decent game, immediately the focus will go on him. It's happened to Brock Purdy. It's happened to Josh Allen. It's happened to Jalen Hurts. It's happened to Patrick Mahomes. And now they're all over Jordan Love like a bad rash, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's whoever plays well on any given Sunday, all the buzz is about him. And now you can't listen to any radio station for love nor money without, oh my God, Jordan Love. He's the greatest. He's the best quarterback. He's going to destroy everybody. And it's like, what happened to Jalen? He's yesterday's chip wrapper.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
What happened to all the others? What happened to Brock Purdy? He's an afterthought. And to me, I agree with you guys. That's really good for us that he is the afterthought.
Yeah.
Because he's not a winner, you know.
Bottom of the playoff QB rankings.
He's the only one in the playoffs who's not drafted in the first round, I think. That was the stat that I saw.
Yeah, I saw it. Was somebody post that on the group or somewhere? Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
You know, so I think it's the social media, it's the NFL hype. It's whichever QB plays well, they just completely dive bomb on the poor bloke and make him out to be the greatest thing since Montana or Brady, you know. And he's forgotten about the very next game when somebody else has a decent game. And I find that really irresponsible journalism. I don't think it helps anybody.
It's very lazy too, isn't it? It's not exactly anybody can just hype up somebody who's just had a great game, but one great game does not make a great player. Do you know what I mean?
It's appalling, and you're 100% right, Paul. It is absolutely lazy. But
it's clickbait. That's what it is. It's clickbait.
Yeah, that's true.
That's modern day journalism. Clickbait.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
That's the consumer they're aiming for, and they're hitting it. So if it hits, let's do it. You know, and I think there really isn't an intellectual journalist out there who's like, hang on a second, you know, why are we doing this? Every Sunday we change quarterbacks. This guy's the best. No, this guy's the best. No, this guy's the best. You know,
And
the good thing is no one's talking about Christian McCaffrey. No one's talking about Debo. No one's talking about Brock Purdy. They're all talking about Jordan Love.
And
how he managed to dismantle Dallas, which, let's be honest, wasn't that hard to do anyway. Yeah.
I mean, I've just watched, I've watched a fair few things from the talkie head, you know, to mention a few shows, Undisputed, The Herd. You're doing exactly what you just said. You know, talking up Jordan Love, comparing him to the quarterbacks we've lost against this season. And the one person who is highly educated, he's not a journalist, he's just incredibly educated and intelligent. I've never seen anyone get the better of him. And that's Uncle Sherman, Richard Sherman. No one gets the better of that man. And he just completely went straight back at them and went, oh, okay, what about this? What about that? What about that? You know, and they were saying, you know, Jordan Love's just beaten the fifth best pass defense in the league. Well, this week they're playing the fourth best pass defense in the league, and I can guarantee the massive holes in busted and open coverages that happened with the Cowboys won't happen with us. And Richard Sherman says, we'll put dinner on it. Do you want to put dinner on it? Let's put it. And they're all like, no, we're not saying that they're going to beat the San Francisco 49ers. Well, hang on a minute. He literally went, hang on a minute, guys. You just told me that Jordan Love's about to destroy them. So is he or isn't he? And they're all like, it just proved exactly what you said, Deepak. It's just, I mean, these people that now represent the NFL in what they do, i.e. the talking heads and the people who get the clips. That's what it's all about, clips, clickbait. You know, the journalism isn't media physical anymore.
It doesn't take Richard Sherman to spot that. We're a bunch of people from the UK. We don't have half the NFL access they do in America. Mm. And we can see a mile away that, what are these lunatics doing in the media? It's every week it changes, it changes, it changes. But I think where there's shit, there's brass. Where there's brass, there's money. Sorry.
Yeah. I got it.
Not talking about us is brilliant because
they
apparently went to Dallas with under no pressure whatsoever. Now all of a sudden the media have piled them up into Jack the Giant Killer, which they ain't. Mm. You know,
again, that's funny because obviously, you know, I mean, I know that we're, what was it, we're 10 point, I don't know how they're
9.5 all these points. Things we're 9.5 point favorites.
9.5 point favorites or whatever it is they whatever that exactly means, I don't know. But anyway, obviously, we're obviously favourites to win the game by the bookies, but by constantly talking about Jordan Love and saying how wonderful he is and how great he played and all this kind of stuff, that actually creates pressure on him.
Well, there was none.
if he wouldn't have on him, because if he wasn't being talked about in that way, they would go in, they would come to, you know, the 49ers, complete underdogs, with no pressure on them. They could just go out there and play. But by them bigging him up so much, it actually creates a pressure on him specifically that otherwise wouldn't have been there and would have all been on the 49ers, you know, as the big favourites to beat the Packers. So it actually, you know, as I say, by this furor over him, creates a pressure on him that there wasn't before and leaves us to kind of, you know, come into the game hopefully under, you know, under the radar a little less than, you know, than we would have been, a little less scrutiny than we might otherwise have been if it wasn't for that.
Before that Cowboys game, not one guy in the press was talking about Jordan Love. Not a single one. Not a one. And now all of a sudden he's been bombarded with this media attention. So that works for us.
Exactly. Not one person picked them to win either. And then when they won, they all went, oh, well. it's lazy, isn't it, like we just said. So that being questioned then, how do we stop the great Jordan Love?
Well, we play our game. We're more experienced than they are. We're rested. We know what it takes. We've been in this position before. And frankly, I think we want it more because it's really now or never for us. And I think the scoring of us favourites by 9.5 points, that means that we should beat them by two scores, which I absolutely believe we will, and we can and we will. Yeah, I'd be gobsmacked if we didn't. I'd be absolutely amazed.
Yeah.
I think they're there for the taking. You know, they barely made it into the playoffs. Let's remember that. Yeah, they barely made it by the skin of their teeth. And they're playing with house money. They've got a young team. They'll build on this. I'm not saying that they're going to be terrible, but next year they'll be better. And the year after that, they'll be ready, you know, or maybe they'll be ready next year. Mm-hmm. But they are a decent club. I'm not saying that they're not a good team, but I'm saying that with the personnel, with the players that we have, the coaching that we have, the level of experience that we have, and the Trent Taylor that we have, Trent Williams, sorry, that we have.
Trent Taylor, bring him back. Yeah.
Trent Williams that we've got, no chance. Yeah. None. Zero.
Well,
you know.
And apparently all the injured players apparently are all training this week, aren't they?
Apart from
guy who got injured in the last game.
Yeah, we're ready, you know. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what our players have been doing for 2 weeks, whatever it's been.
Well, according to Fred Warner, they've pretty much been in the facility every single day. I'd guess they have.
I can't remember who I heard. I was watching an interview of one of the players or somebody, and they apparently played the first team offense against the first team defense at some point. Yeah. So they've been, you know, trying to keep the intensity up, which I think is a good thing. I don't, you know, it would have been, you know, that's the one thing that, you know, you don't want is obviously it's been great that they've had this rest. They've had a chance to get fit, but you don't want to then come into the game half cooked and not ready to get going because, you know, we play our best football when we get going, get up a score. Yeah. You know, we're almost impossible to beat in that scenario. You know, yeah. And if we start half baked, you know, I'm not saying we can't win it, but you know, it'll obviously be it'll be a harder game to win if we don't start how we often do. Was it because I think we're the team that's scored the most touchdowns on the opening
drive? Yes, we are. And also the statistic I think you're referring to there is that Shanahan's record from winning games from points behind, there is a margin of points, I forget off the top of my head, is not good. So you are 100% correct there, Paul.
Terrible.
We've got to start fast, quick. And I think a lot of people go on about the bye and how it's a good and bad thing. But I think that the bye was perfect for us at the time because Christian McCaffrey, the tread he's put on his tyres this season. Trent Williams is a phenomenal player, but he's not a young guy. He's been in the league for 10 plus years. Mm. So they did need that. There was a lot of players carrying Knox and Niggles. Dre Greenlaw hasn't been the same since he come back. And also, you know, when he had the...
And also, if you remember last, I think it was the last couple of seasons even, Bosa never looked quite the same player. He never had quite this, I mean, you know, he still had an impact, but getting so many plays that were jumping off the screen in the playoffs. And you wonder whether that's just because of obviously, you know, and again, it's a perfect time when all of these key players get a chance to rest. And I think hopefully it will be a good thing rather than a bad thing. Because we clearly needed it.
Although Nick did start late this year, but you did get your money, Nick, and you've still been a phenomenal player this season, so I'll let you off. Right, so the two head coaches, it's a case of master versus the apprentice. These two head coaches play quite similarly and they know each other very well. Does that mean that will that make the game any tighter, do you think? Or will it just come down to better personnel?
Right. I think it's a really good point that you mentioned LaFleur versus Shanahan. And I think this is why it could be a close game for this one reason only. Against Dallas, LaFleur just went for it. There was no pity. They kept their foot on their throats and they never took it off. Shanahan gets a 3-point lead and he takes his foot off the gas. You can't do that against this Green Bay team. You have to finish them and finish them and finish them. And I think that's the difference in coaching attitudes, where Shanny will go on the back foot. As soon as he takes the lead, he'll take it easy. He'll play prevent defenses. He'll do all that shit, you know, with very slender leads and hand momentum back. He does it every single game. LaFleur does not do that. And if Shanny gets cute doing that and that Jordan Love decides to wake up, we could be in trouble. And I think that's the edge. I think that's a huge advantage LaFleur has over Shanahan. And the other thing is LaFleur's clock management is much better than Shanahan's. Shanahan thinks nothing of burning a timeout, you know, nothing at all for within the first two snaps of the game. He'll burn a timeout. He doesn't care. Whereas LaFleur knows how to manage the clock. And I think... Shanahan might have better play designs. He may be creative. He may be all of those things. But when it comes to really simple, fundamental coaching, I think Shanny's shown us over the years that time and time again, he's failed to put games away and make them safe a lot earlier than he has done. And his clock management has been really frightening. That's worse than McCarthy in Dallas. Do you remember how bad he was?
That's why I asked the question, because you've summed up exactly there my concerns with it. It's the same concern that we've been speaking about for how long has Shanny been with us? 7 years. So let's just give him a little bit of credit when we've been contenders the past 4 or 5 years. That at times has been unnerving to say the least.
It's unnecessarily unnerving. It's games that should have been put to bed, and he still gives somebody an in, you know. He still gives them a slender amount of hope. And what it takes is a team that switched on to say, hey, we're still in this. We can still do it. You never know. They may well go for it. I'd like to see Shanahan actually just be brutal, completely savage, and just put a team away once and for all. Take his starters off.
But it also happens on the biggest of all stages, doesn't it? I mean, the Super Bowl, 10 points up, fourth quarter, all that malarkey. he's not been able to prove himself as somebody who can get the team, as you say, to just, you know, finish the team off.
Yeah,
but, you know, he leaves it hanging around far too long.
Yeah. And he invites trouble by playing soft defenses, soft zones. Yeah. I mean, I was watching some of the deep plays in the playoffs, and I'm thinking, we are so dead on third and long. It's unreal. Anything more than third and 12, and we're screwed, basically.
I think away from Ward, yeah. Not, I think Charvarius Ward has given us that. That one bit of deep ball coverage that we've got is him. He, you know, he's a few plays this season. He's been the saving grace. But yeah, I think we've got one top quality cornerback, as we've said previously many years. We've got one top quality cornerback. The rest do worry me. I just hope they don't get past the D-line or the linebackers. That's what I'm hoping. We've got to keep them within the chains if we can.
I mean, thankfully, with Armstead back, fingers crossed that should improve our chances of, you know...
internal pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Hargrove.
And being harder to run against.
And the two bookends, Chase Young and Nick Bosa.
I think Chase Young's got to have a big game. He's got to have a big playoff. If he wants to stay on this team next season... because he's going to command a decent amount of money. Nowhere near, obviously, what Bosa's got. But I think if he wants to stay on this team, he's got to have a decent playoff. He's disappointed, probably a bit harsh.
I don't, that's what I mean. I wouldn't give him anywhere near a decent amount of money. He hasn't proven himself to be one of the better players as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he's probably an improvement from what we had, but certainly not like strides in front of some of the other rotational
Clearly
players.
Clearly Ferrell, who we lost in that last game, wasn't it? It was Ferrell that went down. He's outperformed any other rusher than Bosa for me. And when we got him from the Raiders, I was like, what are we getting this guy for? He was literally drafted by the fellow off NFL Network. That was the GM who drafted him. And I was like, he did nothing for the Raiders. He's coming to us. He's obviously been correctly coached, well coached. Give Anthony Lynn his credit, and I forget the exact D-line coaches, but I know Anthony Lynn. Thank you, Chris Kuskerick. I can never say his name, Chris Kuskerick. Give him credit. They've made him a better player. He's come to the organisation and become a better player, which is exactly what we want when we sign these guys. Randy Gregory has been a nothing, really. You know, we got picked him up, and he was one of the main players in Denver before we signed him. He's come and contributed one or two sacks, I think, at the most. So we need a few of these guys that we've picked up, and they should be thinking, right, okay, I'm on a contender here. We're in the playoffs. We've got a genuine chance to go on and win this. Oh, and by the way, I need to make sure that I'm on a decent team next season and I'm earning decent money. Because let's be honest, they do think about money. We saw that with Bosa. He earned it. So I'm going to be looking to the likes of Chase Young for this game. Because we know what they'll do to Bosa. You just know what they'll do. They'll hold him like fuck. I know Deepak does the swearing on the pod, but they'll hold him like fuck, and they won't get called. We'll all be frustrated by halftime. Probably there'll be five or six holding calls on Bosa that won't get called. And they'll double team him. They've got to double team Bosa. So if you don't double team Bosa, then it's your own death. So we've got to look to guys like Chase Young to put the pressure on, because like Dee said, the secondary is the weakest point. It's been the weakest point for a while.
But they've been pretty good. I mean, I don't think they've been that. They've been much better than, I mean, like Ambry Thomas way better than expected.
I'd say they were better.
But they've been,
much better than expected. Well,
fifth best pass defense. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that's down to the secondary, but we are the fourth. Cowboys were fifth. We're the fourth best pass defense in the league this season. Yeah. Now, like I say, whether that's down, I don't know the breakdown between secondary and obviously line, because they're both contributing factors. Linebackers as well. I mean, you ain't getting past Warner, to be real.
It's about the pressure. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be sacks. They've just got to get the pressure on. If they can keep the pressure on, then
which the Cowboys did do against Jordan Love, and he threw a couple of absolute dimes off his back foot. The players he was throwing to, Musgrave, was wide open, and the other lad as well. It was a good touchdown. I forget that. Is it Romeo Doubs who they're already putting a battle between him and Charvarius Ward? You know, that'll be our main threat. He's their main threat, and that'll be our main defense against the receivers. So I just think we're better than. I think we're better than Dallas. It's as simple as that. So,
But as for Chase Young, I think he's always going to be a loner. I don't think it was ever really any serious intention of, well, if he turns out to be awesome, we'll keep him on. I think he was a loner from the start, and I think he knows he's just on loan, which is fine. But if he has a breakout season or a breakout in the playoffs, what better way to showcase?
Yeah, I mean, he'll far more likely to get on, you know, the money he probably thinks he's worth if he turns up and you know, does the business. So, you know, as you're saying, if we win the Super Bowl because he shows himself and enables himself to get, you know, it's a win-win, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we get what we wanted and he gets what he wanted, as well as a Super Bowl ring.
So that's the defense. We've talked a lot about the defense. Offensively, what, like I said, because the coaches are so similar, the Packers didn't really run the ball against the Cowboys. It was all Jordan Love, as we know, and we've been hearing for the past, feels like 72 years, but it's been about 3 days. So are we going to see, what do you think, are we going to see?
I can't remember his name. Didn't they have? They had one guy who was
Aaron Jones. Always scores against Cowboys. Yeah, Aaron Jones has got like 20 touchdowns. They did run the ball. Yeah, you are right, Paulie. Just because of the big Jordan loving that, I've been a bit, you know, massive. Yeah.
Like what? I mean, I was only him. I think that, you know, and obviously he put in a good showing. But I mean, is Aaron Jones in the, you know? If we play to how we know we should, then, you know, whose running back room would you take? Theirs or ours? You'd take ours every day of the week, wouldn't you? I mean, well, you know, it's just, you know, no competition at all in terms of, so, as you said, that's where it all starts. And, you know, that's where we've got to be dominant, I think. And there's no reason to think that we can't be.
Yeah, I think Christian McCaffrey's going to once again show the league why he should be MVP. But because he's a running back and he's not a quarterback, we know that's probably not going to happen. But I think he'll show once again why he should be. And he looks, I've seen images again, edited images by the franchise and organisation, but he looks sharp as anything. Because don't forget, his last showing, he looked a bit roughed up. He had a bit of a groin injury. He had one of them massage guns on the side of his leg. And I was sitting there thinking, no, not this guy. Not this guy. We can't lose this guy. I think Shannon needs to just lean on the run game. Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey, take the pressure off Brock, because as amazing as he's been, let's not turn this into a Brock.
Certainly early on, I think, you know, you need to let him settle into the game again, you know, and, you know, rely on Christian McCaffrey and the running game. And I think that's what it's going to come down to for me. Our running game should completely, their ability to stop our running game should be way less than our defense's ability to stop their running game.
Yeah,
that made sense. You know, we should be able to stop their running game, which in the same way that the running game for us opens up passing possibilities, because they play similar styles, that's probably exactly the same for Green Bay. If we can stop their run, which we should be better at now that we're healthy and Armstead's back and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. We've got a full rotation of you know, players. You know, that should be, you know, make it, you know, manageable for us.
Indeed. I think, I don't know. I think the more I talk about it, starting the podcast extremely confident. I'm still extremely confident, but...
Don't be nervous, James. I mean, CMC, he's not the biggest, he's not the fastest, he's not the strongest, so what's his secret sauce? And I tell you what, I don't think I can remember a player getting banged and and hit so much in every single game than that guy's. And believe me, these 2 weeks off would have totally recharged his batteries. He needed it. I mean, the amount of physical contact that he gets, and he gets through it, you know, and he plays the next down as fresh as he was the very first play of the game, and he does that every single play.
Yeah,
it's incredible how much of a punishing, bruising game he has every day. I'm so glad that he got the 2 weeks rest, and also it's given Shani. Where did I read this? Now apparently Shani started prepping for the Green Bay game. Halfway through the second quarter of the Cowboys game, he'd figured it out straight away.
I think that was a bit of a tongue-in-cheek, but I was very much there for it.
It really wouldn't surprise me if he did, because that knows. He can pick apart. He's very forensic with watching games. He's good at film. He knows the sets. He knows the designs. And speaking of designs, I think he's going to make a lot of plays that are going to get us deep into the red zone in case Moody does moody things, you know.
I was going to talk about special teams in a minute, because I'm also worried about, you know, if they stick like Bell. But I don't know. I mean, hopefully, what's his face who normally does it?
The other wide receiver. You mean the special teams, well, the gunner, Ray McLeod.
Yeah, Ray McLeod. Hopefully he's back there, because he's been pretty worried. Obviously, when he was out, they had Bell back there a few times, who looked not 100% confident in catching and just being back there. And we've had, I can't remember all those years ago, was it? We had, I can't remember the guy's name.
Paul's favourite winner.
Williams or somebody, wasn't it? Who fumbled two kickoff or punt returns and it all went disastrous. Yeah. Was it against the Giants? My memory is terrible for these things in a playoff game. And so again, Bell just makes me a bit nervous. So hopefully McLeod is fit, and if he's not, you know, they put someone like Debo or back there. You know, I know there's an increased risk, and they don't like that particularly necessarily. But I just don't want special teams to be our downfall, I say, because you know, effectively, I know we've had kind of disagreements a bit about Moody's long-term
in his defense prospect,
but there's no doubt in my mind. I think there's no doubt we all agree that in this particular playoff run, whatever his long-term prospects are, he's a lot. You know, he's a potential.
I think
liability.
He hasn't missed a kick, has he, Levi's? I might be wrong in saying that. Yeah.
Where's the words? I'm touching lots of
wood. Let's be honest. For Christ's sake, he's got to be comfortable kicking there. He's got to be, you know.
I think he'd be comfortable kicking in games where there's no pressure on him whatsoever, but he still shit the bed, you know. And that is a worry. And even an extra point, which people think is neither here nor there, but let me tell you something. When you miss an extra point, that thing sits there and stays all night long unless you do something about it, you know. Missing
an extra... Well, there were several missed points in the playoffs, weren't there?
Yeah,
so far, as I say, it has significant impact in your ability to maintain your, you know, especially if it's a high scoring game and you're sort of back and forth.
But you can't have a team this talent stacked to lose in the playoffs because of that kicker. That would be a tragedy. Yeah. It would be unspeakably bad. Yeah. It would be horrendous. I don't think they'd ever speak to him again if that happened. You know. They've worked their whole careers off for that guy to whiff 25 yards or whatever.
That being said, Cole and the offense should do their job. You should not put him in that situation.
But that's what I mean. In all honesty, if that does happen, it's there.
You have a kicker just in case you need that extra push to go through. No, I don't. I disagree. I don't think it's on the offensive coordinator or Kyle to make sure that we don't need him. It's nice if we don't need him, but he's there as a little extra in case we need.
Oh, no, no. I don't mean it's their fault. I mean, it's like the front office's fault for whoever made the decision that they were prepared to take this season where we had an excellent chance of winning the Super Bowl and deciding that we would go with a rookie kicker. You know, if that was John Lynch, presumably, or whoever it was, whoever's had the final say, that was acceptable. It's their fault, really.
I agree. If you're going to have a team this talent stacked and then rely on an untested rookie kicker which you picked in the third round of the draft, okay, you are either 20 million percent convinced he's the real thing, which he isn't, okay, or you're that confident that you don't need him. And it's one or the other. It can't be both. And I think I agree with Paul. They should have, as a sign of intent, they should have just given Robbie Gould whatever he wanted and said, just stick it out one more season.
Yeah.
We don't know the ins and outs. We don't know if Robbie was like, I want to go back to Chicago. That's where I'm from. He's been in Chicago ever since.
Or he wants like a ridiculous amount of money. Maybe that was their plan, but they just couldn't pull it off.
He wanted too much, Paul. I think you're right. He was being really, really obtuse with his demands, and as a consequence,
and he retired halfway through the season, it's a shame. A bit of a shame for him, really, because let's be honest, there's been, from that point of view, woeful kicking in the league. There's a big margin. I think there's one or two kickers in the league where you can say it's a cert. I think Justin Tucker and I forget the other guy's name. Yeah, there's a couple that basically just, you know, it's a cert. Other than that, it's honestly, I watched something about the standard of kicking in the game and how much it's gone down in terms of conversion percentage and stuff. I mean, like you just said, Paul, in that last round of playoffs, off the top of my head, I can remember two going off the bar, off the upright, shall we say. And I think there was another one that was just a complete shank. In fact, there was also a blocked kick. Granted, it was quite far out, which means he does have to angle the kick down to get the distance. But you need to be getting that past the defenders.
Robbie Gould misses kicks too, but like the last time we played in Green Bay, do you remember? It was a walk-off field goal. Would you want him or Moody kicking that? There's no debate.
Unquestionably.
Yeah, there's no debate. You know,
let's just hope we don't need him.
So, are we still nervous, gentlemen?
Yes. I'm always nervous. It doesn't matter whether I'm just terrible. I'll be an absolute...
I'm confident, but not to the point where I would disrespect what Green Bay has achieved, even though they barely made it to the playoffs. But they've sounded off and made their intention clear. Fair play to them for doing that. And I think they're one of those where... They're not like Dallas. If you take Dallas lightly, you'll still beat them. But these guys, you can't take lightly because they will be.
That's what worries me more than anything. Is just, you know, if we turn up, there's no question in my mind we beat them. Do you know what I mean?
But only we
can lose this for ourselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes teams turn up and they talk the talk and they say they've had a great... And they just don't turn up, whether it be... Because I don't know, because they've had too much time sitting around, because they took them too lightly, whatever it is, sometimes teams turn up and, you know, just aren't at the races. If we're at the races, I see nothing but us winning. It's only if we're not at the races are we going to make it, you know, and even then we could still win. We just make it more difficult for ourselves. And, you know, so we just have to turn up and respect the opposition because they've proven that they need respecting. And like we were talking earlier, they don't take their foot off the gas. They're not Dallas. They're not the Eagles. You know, we've got to just, you know, show up, play to our potential, and we can win.
It's unthinkable. If we were not to win it this year, I don't know what's going to happen next year.
It's worrying.
Yeah.
We haven't even mentioned penalties.
Yeah.
We won't go into that. I do not want to jinx things, but we haven't mentioned penalties. Because that's often also been our downfall. But okay, that being said, we're going to win, but what are we going to win by? Scores, gentlemen. Deepak, go on.
Yeah. We'll satisfy the 10-point. Spread.
Two scores?
No problem.
Paul?
Yeah.
So there's part of me that thinks that we could win it like 35-20 or something. But there's another part of me that thinks it's going to end up being like 21-17 or something.
I think we're gonna. There's one or two ways this game's gonna go. We're gonna win this game by at least two scores, or we're gonna lose it stupidly by a point or two. That's the way it's going to go. We're either going to win. We're not going to win. I do not foresee us winning this game by 3 points. So a kick, as you've just possibly said. So we're either going to win this by two scores or we're going to lose it stupidly by 1 or 2 points. So that's the way I think it's going to go. Any more thoughts, guys? I think we've been through it all, haven't we? Offense, defense, special teams. Any other business? Anything else you want to mention, guys?
I don't think it would be a successful season if we were to bow out on Sunday. I think
it'll be abject failure if we don't.
It is on late Saturday night, however you want to call it, small hours of Sunday. So don't think you're going to rock after midnight on Sunday.
Back to your earlier question, I'm actually more worried about what I'm going to do if I wake up a 5-year-old and my missus at 2-3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning. I've done it before. Yeah. And the other worry is what I'm going to do when I get to bed if it's been an amazing game about 5 a.m. and the little one's up at 7. But anyway, they're my worries.
Listen to the post-show.
I don't know whether to go for a nap before. Again, impossible with a 5-year-old, or just power through. One thing I'm not doing is touching any beer, because if I have beer, I'll fall asleep. So anyway, my problem, my issues. We'll all be watching it. Anyway, it's been a pleasure, gents.
We sure are.
Thank you very much. Good night. God bless.
Great stuff. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, take care, guys.